Sahana bhavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, sahavirayankaravavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastamavirvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 109. Sukadeva Goswami continued, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart as the Supersoul, sells himself to his devotees such as Narad Muni. In other words, the Lord gives pure love to such devotees and gives himself to those who love him purely. Right, so in other words, pure devotion means the Lord's giving himself. Mm-hmm. So it's not just something you have, right? Because we may look at it, pure devotion is something we get, then we're happy, right? There's no problems, we're happy, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. But the point is pure devotion means the Lord gives himself. That's why it's so difficult to obtain. Yes.
So you can have a pure neophyte devotee. Still some desires are there. How is the relationship? He's still giving himself.
You're creating a scenario here.
Yes. Thank you for noticing.
Okay.
I may or may not fit into that scenario. But
okay. Means that he's there in the heart, so he's always interacting with the devotee. Mm-hmm. But what we're bringing out here is the significance that it's not you're getting something, meaning just an experience, you're getting the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? That's the whole point, is because we tend to not look at it like that. We look at it, what I'll get from a situation, rather than the relationship.
It's the word pure that I'm a little bit, it's a problem for me.
Pure.
Yes, pure devotee. Yeah.
You have a problem with pure devotees.
I have a problem with the fact that I'm not necessarily a pure devotee.
And how anybody else
so
could
what am
be
I
if you're not.
Yeah.
What are you going to get?
Yeah, I mean, if he gives himself to the pure devotee, then what does he give to the mixed devotee?
Yes. Like a little toe or something?
Okay, I'll take a little toe.
Point is he's involved in the life of the devotees.
Good. Good.
So the pure devotee, then, why is it pure devotee? Because then it's about the person. Because
yeah.
We're taking it, pure devotion, it means my ritual is good, I chant my rounds nicely, my sadhana is good, you know, I'm not disturbed by material desires, so therefore that's the devotional thing. No, that means now you're situated nicely on the devotional path.
Yes,
but the devotion is about the person, not about the situation.
Yes.
Of the process.
Yes.
Right? Because we look so much at the situation.
Yes.
Of the process and not at actually the process itself, which is the interaction between one person and the other.
Yes.
You understand? So that's just being introduced here, because before we're talking about situations.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The person has material desire, he connects that to the Lord, and everything goes really nicely, like kardama.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that. Or we see with Prithu Maharaj, then he connects everything to Lord. He does all his activities of karma and everything perfectly. He also, like that. Priyavrata, then even, more, that kind of element. So we see this. But here now being introduced, we can see, is that he's giving himself. This is the first time this has been said. Right? But that's what it means, pure devotion, is the Lord gives himself.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's the whole point. So that means, why would he give himself if you haven't given yourself? Because he reciprocates. According to how you surrender, he reciprocates.
Yes.
So you've surrendered as a person to a person, and he reciprocates as a person to a person. Yes.
Maharaj, we see Krishna is a bit far away for us. So we practice devotional service in the society of the Vaishnavas, and with the spiritual master especially.
Right.
So actually very few devotees can take the personal aspect of the spiritual master. They take instruction, they take diksha,
right.
But the personal interaction, we don't see that, you know, as much, because people somehow or other, they like to be a little distant.
Yeah, because so that means then you give yourself, just Krishna's giving himself because you've given yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, Prabhupada, when I think it was the Bhavananda, that he talked about servants. As a sannyasi, he talked about servants. Prabhupada said he changes them every 3 months.
Yeah.
Because of that point. They get too familiar this because they don't function actually on the personal platform.
Yes.
So that's why it was very unique that Hari Sori was a servant for a year and a half. Because we think a year and a half is not a long time. But since Prabhupada would change every 3 months generally, that was six times longer than anybody else. So basically him, Upendra, and Shrutakirti, they were the only ones that actually did longer term. And even then they would do, then not, and then again do. Well, most would just do and that was it. They put in their three months and they were, that was. Such Rupak was secretary a lot. I think he did quite a bit of secretary, but not servant. Yes, so Satsarup Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Maharaj probably alone is the secretaries. Because the secretary, then you're there, your interaction, but it's not that you're doing all the things, you're not doing the cooking, the serving, the cleaning, the massage, these kind of things. So point is what you said, is that personal aspect of surrender, that generally is not what we're used to. You know, even in our material relationships, how much is about yourself and them? Is about what is gained from them. What is the experience? You like being with them, right? Then rather than you like them,
right?
You know what I'm saying? That's just that means as a default setting, that's standard. So it's not that in the material scenario that we would say that's a fault.
It's not a fault.
No, I'm saying on the material platform, we wouldn't say it's a fault. Like that. But on the spiritual platform, we would say it's a fault because we haven't actually come to the fully personal. It's quasi-personal, but it's not real personal because the actual relationship is based on the conditioning. So this means it's based on the soul. So it's just something that will come with time and practice and association. So if one continues that process, that will come.
Because even when the opportunity, you know, appears, then we're hesitant to take it, to be, you know, very personal with the spiritual master.
Yeah, because it's more intense, like that. You know, because we also have that element as we're looking to get out of the material world. So that element of goodness means we don't want any difficulties.
So that attachment is from that side.
Yes, where we don't want any, means physical difficulties, obstacles like that, that if we have a good work ethic, that we can get through. But the other side means emotional. So we don't want any emotional difficulties or, you know, considerations or that. We want to be able to control how emotions affect us, right? Rather than another person's controlling that. So it's just a matter of time. So in other words, if we've gotten up to goodness that we're willing to do, but then there's that anxiety about the difficulties come up, but we're willing to do and we do a good job, then we've gotten to goodness. Now pure goodness will be where then that part goes. You know, then it's about that service and all that. So in other words, if we've noticed that that's there, that's a good symptom, because in passion ignorance you won't notice it. So that we notice it, then that means then there's, you know, at least a glimmer of goodness there, and so then that's good. But it's not where we stop. In other words, we keep going. You know, it's just like the yogi, that he can see the Lord in the heart, that's good. But he doesn't stop there. He keeps going until he surrenders in devotion. Is that... You had something else.
Often you see that a Krishna comes in really from Taliban Sela to the body of the
Point is Krishna's there in all these capacities. It's just how much he's interacting. Point is Krishna's always interacting with the devotees. That's always happening. It's just a matter of just how much. Yeah. It's basically is how much we're interacting. Like that. It's that, though it's always more. If you take one step, Krishna will take 10. Like that. So then, if we've taken one step and we get 10, then what would happen if we took 10?
Yes.
You know. No, you get 100. I mean, if you want, we can work it out. You know, she only wants 20.
I want 100.
And you want 100? Okay. I'll take the 100. Yes.
Now, as you said that the Lord sell himself.
Sell himself, yes.
So
does that mean you have to bargain? How much? Full surrender.
Full surrender.
Yes. That's what Lord Nityananda is selling.
See, at least before the full surrender.
Because the name and Krishna are non-different, so Nityananda Prabhu is selling the name. Yes, so all it takes is that surrender.
Can we say that before the full surrender, at least the full desire to surrender?
Yes, that was the previous point. The previous point is that it's the desire for it that makes it work. We want that, but then there's a lag in our actual ability. In other words, there has to be the desire for pure devotion, though our ability in it may be behind, right, due to lack of practice in that. But unless that desire for it's there, it's not going to go that direction. You know, it's just like, let's say, you go to the station, you want to get on a particular bus. But now you want to get on that bus. Are you on the bus? No, you have to go get the ticket and walk, find the platform, then get on the bus. But the point is that if you come into the station, you have no desire to get on the bus, does anything happen? No, so that means the desire has to lead the activity. But it's not like the sahaja is just having the desire and no activity. Or the smart is we have the activity, no desire. Like that. So it's the desire and that practice. So that's why we associate with those who we feel have that, at least more than us, that desire and that practice. That's the whole idea.
And to be sincere.
Yes, to be sincere. Because that means we have to want that. We don't have another motive for that. It's not that, wow, look at all these guys, they do pure devotion, how much they get. I'd like that, and so therefore then we do all the pure devotional stuff, you know, hoping that I'll end up as, you know, richer than Indra like Bali, right, you know. And, you know, it'd be a cute, cool conversation piece. You have a real short, you know, doorkeeper there that's quite cute, you know. Like that, and like, wow, who's the doorkeeper? And so, you know. Yes. Yes.
You see, in the story of this Bali Maharaj, he was able to develop a very personal relationship with Vamanadeva in a very short kind of time.
Yes.
So...
That's just that, in other words, these things, one, show the principle that can be done. You know, in general, develop that relationship, surrender, and have that relationship. But it also shows how easy it is.
Yes.
It's that quick. It's due to our identity and everything like that. We don't want to give that up. We're comfortable with our identity, so we want to keep that. But that there's Bali Maharaj, and he's willing to give that up. And just accept, I'm servant of the Lord. So that's the point. If because the Lord reciprocates. If you give yourself to the Lord, then he reciprocates and gives himself. So we have to have faith that that's working. Because in the material world, we have a tendency, we give ourselves, but we don't necessarily, the other person reciprocates on the same way we've imagined. You know, like that. And does that make sense? So, you know, good relationships are close to that, and bad relationships aren't anywhere near. You know, you can't relate at all.
Yeah.
So here it is. Is there somebody who will fully reciprocate?
Yes.
Right? He's not going to worry about anything. What your past is, what you've done, who you are, what your position, nothing. None of that matters. It's just the personal relationship.
so, yes.
Well, in relation to what you claimed about desire, the aphorism, first deserve, then desire, how does that fit in?
Well, that's positions and stuff like that. That's the relationship. Someone wants to be the temple president, GBC, you know, this, that. You know, so then you should deserve that. It means what have you service have you done to warrant that position? You could also take as, okay, well, what have you done to desire that? You know, have you surrendered to the process, surrendered to the spiritual master? You know, are practicing the process to your best of your ability. Then you can say, okay, then you deserve the desire. Otherwise, if you say, oh, I want pure devotion, okay, so then why don't you chant? No, this, that, you know, why don't you follow the principles? No, you know, surrender to the spiritual master. No, you know. You know, then you could say from that angle, then what do they do to deserve it? Yeah, that is like the standard, you know, life member in Calcutta. Yeah, when are you coming to Mayapur? Yeah, when Krishna wants, you know, like that. Okay, you know, when are you making your nest investment in your business and all that, like that? You know, are you going to say when Krishna wants? Or are you going to say this afternoon at 2 o'clock? You know, so. Yeah. So, yeah.
I see in this story that previously Srila Prabhupada mentions that it's not that Bali Maharaj deserved that whatever he got from the Lord,
right,
but because of the personal relationship that he got him and the kingdom better than English.
Yes, yes.
So in his case it's very obvious, you know, this thing that he deserved then, you know, his desire matching his position.
Right.
But then Srila Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion, he mentions that Lodiyam is the only qualification for
yes.
us to get anywhere in you know, on the ladder of bhakti.
Okay, so then we're saying that when you desire pure devotion, right, then that puts you in the position of deserving, so then you can
yes.
continue to desire.
Yes.
Right? Means in other words, bhakti comes from bhakti. It's independent. So it's not dependent upon your situation. So, but where will you get that desire?
From the association.
That's it. So that's where you deserve. That's what you've done. You've surrendered to the devotees. Therefore, now you can surrender to the Lord. And then the Lord will reciprocate. So it's always all these things. That's the fun part. It appears contradictory, but it's not. It's just at which part you start, then it goes, the other mm-hmm. comes. Yeah. That's yeah. the nice thing about bhakti, seeing that as complete and independent. No matter if you start in Sambandha Abhideya or Prayojana, the other two are coming with it.
Mm-hmm.
So one doesn't. So the idea is that from some angle, by the knowledge itself, by being attracted by, you know, the wonderfulness of the pastime, or by the relationship with the Lord and the devotees, anything that attracts your attention, then that will make perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
Thank you.
You had something in the back.
Yeah, I was previously mentioning the relationship with spiritual master, personal relationship. And maybe you mentioned that so we have impersonal tendencies.
No, yes, that's the point. That's what we're meaning. That's what we said before, and oh, maybe you hadn't come. We're talking about in the material world that we function on this impersonal, that will be called normal.
Yes.
And so then if you like dealing impersonally with a particular person, then that's called a relationship. You know what I'm saying? But if you just walk down the street on your own and doing your own thing and that, then that's, you know, considered respectable.
Yes.
You know, and then if you direct that you don't mind being impersonal with someone, you know, I really like being impersonal with you, you know,
yes.
like that.
Yes.
Oh, so, you know, so nice. You know. That's so romantic.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. You know, so that's the problem. That's the material. That's the material world, especially the Western world. When it's non-Vedic, then there's no duties and all that, because the concept of duties brings out swargiya rasa, right? Heavenly rasa comes out of duties. That's why we say do duties. because that generates the personal interaction. Because I'm doing this because I'm supposed to. So then you're doing it for a particular person or group or situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's much easier to understand the person that's involved. Because if I'm doing this because I'm supposed to, and I'm interacting with a person, then their situation, their mood, their needs is also can very easily be absorbed or considered when we're dealing with the duties. You understand? So that's why they're recommended. But that's why generally the Western mindset is the first thing to go is duties. What's the problem with Varnashram?
Duties.
Yeah, it's too restrictive. And then what does that mean? It's too restrictive. Basically, what does that mean? It's too restrictive.
It's not about me.
It's not about me? And?
Authority
issues. So, my spontaneity?
Can I do what I want?
Can I do what I want? Okay. But there's a step further that's the root of that. This is the obvious thing. Impersonal means I don't want to have to surrender to people. And consider them in the relationship. It means on that level.
In Western, you would say that duties are impersonal.
Yeah, they would say that, but that's the mode of ignorance. When something that's personal you say is impersonal, something impersonal you say is personal. You know? Oh, that's so impersonal, you know, you expect them to behave by the rules. Well, we think everybody is, you know, equal, everybody's this. Yeah, so that means, that's the point, is no, what we're professing is impersonal. What they're talking about is personal, but we can't see that. That's motive ignorance. That's the thing. That's how ignorance works. It makes something, what's right, look wrong, and what's wrong look right. Like that. Passion is what's right, then you do it with gusto because you want the results. Right? Goodness means you do it because it's supposed to be done.
That's the definition of goodness.
Yes. Yes, duties. So that's the point is, our problems is not technically with Varnashram, our problem is actually with the mode of goodness. and having to deal with people. Because even if we deal with goodness, okay, then we're used to dealing with goodness on the platform of Gyan. So when we deal in karma, it's what I'll get, and Gyan is what I'll get. Right? Like, so karma is what I'll get from others. Gyan is what I'll get from not dealing with others.
Yes.
Right? So we're not actually used to dealing with people. That's why then devotional service is so unique and new. That's why pastimes are the most important element. That's why the Purana is the most important literature. Because the Upanishads, we can still hide behind, you know, the impersonal concept. Well, with Purana, we have to actually address the Lord and the devotees are interacting.
Yes.
Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
So in that light, all the committee-based social health formulas are very interesting.
Yes. Why a committee? Because you don't know who the committee is. And even if you do find out the committee and you go up to one member of the committee and say, why are you doing this? They can say, well, I told them not to do that. I didn't vote for it.
Yes.
I abstained.
Yes. I'm just one guy.
Yeah, you haven't. Yeah, I'm just one guy, you know. Like that. You can always get out of it.
Just the chairman.
I'm just the chairman. I just see that
really
nobody,
don't
you know,
have
like
an
that.
Influence.
Yeah. I'm just a secretary and write the notes however I like, you know. You know, so it's. It's not like in the court where the person's typing exactly as you say it. This, they make notes and then they go back and they write it down and they think about it and they rewrite it and then friends talk to them and they rewrite it again.
Yes.
And then the final comes for it's going to be officially presented and then they rewrite it again. And like that.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the original thing except for a few words. Ifs, ands, buts, those all stay. Whereas remains. Yes. Yes. As I say it. Yes, so that's why it's popular. Well, previously it was about a person. And you can see as if that relationship with the person's good, then they like that. You know, there's a concept of that, though it doesn't work very well. Like Prabhupada mentioned, in Puranjana, that because of the misuse of monarchy, then that's why it's been removed and replaced by, you know, these other processes, democratic processes, because the monarchy wasn't used properly. You know, so it's natural. People misuse, so that it gets removed. But at the same time, the concept of having some one person as a prominent, they still have. So you still have a president or a chairman or, you know, or a chancellor or something. Yeah. You know? And so there's always still the concept of a person. You know? And even some countries, even though it's I think there are, I'm not sure if there's any full monarchies still left in the world. There are.
Middle East,
okay. Yeah, there. But the point is, people like. If they do nicely, people like. You know, and even the ones that have the parliamentary monarchy, they like their monarch. You know? You know, it's kind of a history, a tradition. It's like even in Australia, you know, and they're real yobs out there. You know, they voted to keep it. Sorry. You know, I said, there you are. Yeah. They voted to keep to not separate off and that the queen's not queen anymore. They wanted her to be queen. You know, even though I don't think she has any influence at all.
It's on the back of the coins.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Well, can you imagine who else would be on the back of the coins? You know, like that. Some, you know, maybe Crocodile Dundee, maybe that would work. You know. Yes, that's a coin. Yeah. Wrestling with a crocodile. Okay. Yes. No. Yes.
Well, it seems that many Prabhupada disciples, when Srila Prabhupada was there, was very personal.
That's why you see, is those who were with Prabhupada, they talk very differently,
yes,
and see very differently than others.
Yes.
Not in the philosophy,
yes,
but it's like, we'll talk philosophy and this and that. Persons like that, they won't talk without talking about Prabhupada if they're,
yes,
from that 60s era.
Yes. Yes.
You know, especially early 60s, 66, 67, 68,
yes. Yes.
Like that. You know, they'll, because Prabhupada was always there with them.
Yes.
Like that, like that. Then after that, I think they started L.A. and then they had the big temple, that concept. Before, it was always the small
yes,
little thing.
Yes.
It wasn't,
yes,
wasn't. So there, for them, it's just, you know, Prabhupada and how he did and this, mm-hmm, and that. So that's the advantage of the personal relationship.
Yes.
You know, so that's what we're pointing out here. Is Krishna, he'll reciprocate like that if,
yes,
we take that up.
Yes. I remember one time Brahmananda Prabhu was saying that before becoming Krishna conscious means Prabhupada conscious.
Yes. Yeah. That's the whole point. That's why it's that, this whole concept of, you know, doubting what Prabhupada says,
yes,
that's not even on the table for discussion.
Yes.
It's on the table for defenestration, but it's not on the table for discussion. Like that. You know, it's just not something that can be tolerated. You know. Though in the modern sense, it's, you know, you consider yourself quite intellectual if you can,
yes,
doubt anything.
Yes.
That's the idea of critical thinking. It's like political correctness. It's political. It's only correct in the political sense.
Yes.
It's not correct. Okay, political correctness as if it's correct. No, it's correct politically, which is always changing. And critical thinking, it's not thinking, it's critical. You just analyze a bit. So the main point is it's critical. You know, they're taking it that's the adjective for the noun, but actually it's the other way around.
Yes.
Thinking is the adjective for the noun, which is critical.
Yes.
And correctness is the adjective for,
yes,
political.
Yes. Yes. Supports your political.
Yeah, it supports your political,
yes,
position. Because the effect is political, not truth. You know, because truth is what's written in these pages. Truth is not.
Oftentimes, yeah, a smokescreen is put up for doubting that we can't blindly follow.
Yeah, yeah.
But
so then,
following, not,
yeah. No, we're not talking about blind. Not blindly following means using your intelligence.
Yeah.
But here, they're not using intelligence; they're using feelings. So they're just reacting like the dog in the driveway.
Yeah.
That's all. They like you. They don't like you. It's not that they're using their intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, all these things will be used. That's the point. Is that a knife can do wonderful things, it can also do terrible things. So the philosophy is there. You use it properly, then you can get benefit. You don't use it properly, then you can keep yourself here a long time. You know.
And then so the Bhagavad Gita can do two things. It can get you out of the material world into the spiritual, or it can help you enjoy the material world.
Yeah, as whatever you like.
So
whatever you like.
Mentality,
that's the point, is you have to have knowledge to be able to engage in Krishna service, but that knowledge you can use not in Krishna service. So that's why you see is just, you know, Maya's kindness, she takes away, because how much they can do. You know what I'm saying? That's the point, is that they're into they're into eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, but how well do they eat? Right? Not very well. I mean, if you take your standard Western kind of thing, you know, what is the food they eat? So how good is it? You know, sleeping, how well are they sleeping? Because they don't go to bed at the proper time. Right? Mating is also a bit of a joke. Everyone's talking about it, but who's actually involved? You know what I'm saying? That's the thing, you know?
Yeah,
like that, you know, so they don't even know what happened. So it's that, and defending is that, you know, except unless you're part of the IRA, that, no, not IRA, what was it? What's it? A? No, that's in Ireland. ARA.
Where?
American Rifle Association.
Oh.
Something like that.
Means NRA.
NRA. National Rifle Association. Yeah. Then they may have a little bit of knowledge about defending.
Yes.
There, these guys, you know. You show up on their front yard and they respond with a bazooka or something, if you're in Texas at least. Like that. Because the front lawn's quite big out there.
Yeah.
So.
Sure you
so, but otherwise, then it don't. The common person can't use anything.
No.
Like that.
They're not regulated enough.
Yeah, not very many people know how to use a baseball bat. So, it's just, you know, they don't really get much. That's the thing, is that so Maya's reduced it so they can actually make less trouble for themselves. They don't actually have the piety to enjoy the material world. So, but you have knowledge, you study, there's a piety there. Therefore, you could misuse it for sense gratification. But if you do, then it'll be taken away. Then next life, you don't know. The person's here, they have that knowledge, they're using it for sense gratification. So they're pious that they're following Shastra, so it's enough to keep them in human life. So then they're born outside of India in the non-Vedic cultures, where now they still have that desire for that sense gratification, but they don't have any knowledge about it. Right? And so then, you know.
So we come to India.
Yeah. But how many see India? That's also the thing.
Yes.
You don't have to inspire others to become personal. You just have to do it yourself.
Yes.
People will respond to whatever degree they're capable. Yeah, so you just try and you do what you can. And at the same time, as you only deal with people as personal as they're also willing to be dealt with personally. Because also people don't necessarily always like to be dealt with personally, because that means they have to respond personally, which is not actually part of their program. Right? Yes, so don't worry about it. The point is don't worry about that on others. You be Krishna conscious. You try to do. Then if you can have an influence, great, but if you can't, don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? Preaching is another thing. You're giving them faith in it, but how quickly they want to progress in it, that's up to them. You know, if you can help, yes, but if you can't, don't worry about it. Does that make sense? You had something? To make a good decision, you should consult three Brahmanas.
Mm-hmm.
consult the and where did you hear this? I mean, I haven't heard of. I mean, in law, there's a committee of three Brahmins, like that. It means that's there's one person who's taking charge, and then he has two assistants. Or if they do it as a committee, then there's four Brahmins, right? So there's not one as a lead.
Together.
Yeah, together. So in other words, together they make the decision. Then there's four. If one guy's going to make the decision, it's one with two as consultant. But that's in law. I've only heard that you ask three people if you're trying to find directions in Calcutta. that you do, because you ask the first person, they go, yeah, down that way, you know, and then you walk further and it seems a bit far. You ask the next person, you know, where they say, yeah, down that way. And then you get to the third person who says, no, it's that way, you know.
We need five, and three of them have to be in agreement.
Have to have a majority. That would work. Would work. Or ask very often.
Yes.
We ask two people together.
That can also work.
They can work together.
Yeah. But I haven't heard that it has to be. Point is it's a matter of, do they understand your situation? Are they like-minded and all this? Because otherwise their solution may not be something you can use. So just that it has to be three Brahmins. No, it has to be three that they understand or could relate to your situation. Right? Does that make sense? Because that's why when they deal in governance, that they have to be like-minded people. So this modern idea is, no, we should have people that are all so different so that nobody can actually get into a position of authority, and therefore there's no power, and therefore they get nothing done, and so we can pat ourselves on the back that we have government, but actually we don't, because it can't do anything because no one agrees, and so nothing happens. So that should not be the basis of why we say three Brahmins. So unless there's some, I haven't come across where it says you have to ask three Brahmins. So unless Chanakya says that, because that's a niti thing. Because I mentioned the Dharma thing. But the niti, unless niti mentions it, and I don't remember. In other words, you should consult others, but it should be those who you trust and who understand. Yes. Yeah, but they have to be like-minded. You know, it's not like the modern thing is that, okay, we have these two or three people and they all think the same, so we got to get someone in there that's totally different and doesn't like what they say, and then we'll feel we'll have a balanced thing. That's not how the Vedic works. Right. Great self-realized mystic yogis, such as the four Kumaras, also derive great transcendental bliss from realizing the Super Soul within themselves. So they also, on the platform of neutrality, they get great bliss from realizing the Super Soul within themselves, let alone that personal interaction. Because we mentioned in the neutral rasa, then whether they're personally with or not doesn't really matter. Because for them, it's the meditation on the Lord, on His qualities and all that, that they're inspired by. So if He's personally present, then the qualities are right there. And if He's not, it's there by meditation. So technically, they don't feel separation necessarily, right? At least not on the platform of pure devotion. Pure unalloyed devotion, then we see also the animals and the birds and that in Vrindavan. Then they, you know, when Krishna, they follow Krishna when he goes back to Vrindavan. Yes. And then when he goes into Vrindavan, they just stay in those trees and the forest immediately surrounding where Krishna will come out in the morning. So there is some sense, you know, the trees, and they lose their leaves despite certain fools saying that even in Vaikuntha, not even a leaf falls. Is that all the leaves fall? Yeah, no, one leaf does not fall. We'll agree. All of them fall off. Yeah, and then they all grow back when Krishna comes out. When it comes out, then it's all fresh, you know. So that's the thing. For Krishna, it's fresh leaves, new leaves. Those are always the nicest leaves. So the forest always has the fresh new leaves. And, so that's the position. Huh? Yes, an old book. But there's still, you know, the. I just bumped into one of them the other day.
consistent.
Yeah, consistent. You have to hand that to me.
Srila Prabhupada comments, the Lord became Bali Maharaj's doorkeeper not because of his giving everything to the Lord, but because of his exalted position as a lover of the Lord. So that's the point. It's the devotion. Giving the charity, that is a king to a Brahmin. That's the expression of the rasa. Like we said before, Mother Yashoda, her love for Krishna is the primary. Her services of cooking for Krishna, taking care of the house, ornaments, clothes, bathing Krishna, those are secondary. Right? So every devotee, there is the primary and secondary. So we have to see that. But in the spiritual, the primary perfectly, the secondary perfectly matches and supports the primary. So in the material world, if we're following the reflection, then we have the different rasas. That's why you follow the natural forms that go with that rasa. We can say, no, I can do what I like. Yes, you can, but it doesn't match the rasa. Say what you like. You know, jump up and down. Go out, get thousands of people to agree with you. It doesn't match the rasa, because rasa is made by Krishna, not by us. Especially not by us.
No.
When it comes to rasa, the Westerners are not the ones that can claim the fame. Going out, destroying other cultures, taking all their wealth, taking it back home, that we can say we're expert at. We're good at that. You know, we excel, you could say. But in rasa, relationships, that is one thing that we shouldn't be trying to make comments on. It's just, it's not our thing. Understand? So that's the idea, is that that's why the Vedic literature gives what it gives in the way of the rules, so that you perform the activity that actually matches the rasa. You know? But that's the thing, is we don't actually want rasa. So that's why we don't like the rules. Or only if we can see an advantage for ourselves, then, oh, that has to be, and everybody has to do it, and if they're not doing it, there's something wrong. You know, either way. You know? That Niyamagraha is, you know...
Yeah.
It has to be there. That's the basic principle. Niyamagraha is the method. So that's the difficulty. So here it's not because of he gave the charity. That's what he did to express that love. It's because of his love, therefore he's willing to give his whole kingdom. But it's the love, this actual thing. So when we see this difference, then we're chanting, we're following the principles, we're following the order of Guru, we're practicing devotional service, but it's what we mentioned before, it's that intent or that desire to please Krishna. That's the real point. And that's independent of these other. We may be good at the practice or not. That will come with time. But having the desire to please Krishna in that way, that we can have immediately. That there's no time limit on. Right? Anything is a practice, then it takes a little time, right? You don't know it at all, you start doing it, it takes time, right? Except in Hollywood, of course, right? The guy's never done the thing and he's the most expert and better than guys that are fully trained, right? But whatever, that's another discussion. Just because he wants to. So at least they got the principle that he wants to, that's the whole point. But we're saying there'll be a lag in the two. And for some, that lag is shorter, some is longer. But the point is that ability of the soul to want to serve Krishna or want to surrender to Krishna, that's available at any moment. There's no obstacle to that, except ourselves.
It's also significant.
How you say it's like, what would you call it? You know, you have that, like Dr. Strangelove, the alien, what do you call it? You know, the limb or whatever it is, it's... whatever it is, it means that you have a part of your body that's considered like alien because it does whatever it likes, not what you want it to. Like this. So we have you know, alien consciousness. Consciousness does whatever it likes. No, I want it. But the consciousness is something that actually we have control over, whether we want to take control or not. Now the mind, the intelligence, the false ego, the senses, the body that come from the conditioning, that has its practices, that will go on as it does, and we have to slowly change that. But the consciousness we can change immediately. That's why Katbangamars can surrender in a moment. the gopis in a moment, or that. But that's so that moment is so fixed that therefore then everything else follows it. Right? Yes.
Right. So can we say that before coming to the devotional service, whatever the experience is, uparasa.
Yes.
And then within the devotional service, before we come to Ashakti and even Bhava, then within that, that's uparasa, because that rasa isn't developed as such.
Yes, but it's at least on the right path. So I would say, rather than say uparasa, it's just not fully developed rasa. So as we become more conscious and aware, then you see. That's why you see the more advanced somebody is, the more nice they are, the more it's nice to associate with them. Because they actually are starting to behave as a person. Mm-hmm.
Somehow it appears that certain people, just they're more personal somehow or other.
That's by the conditioning. They're more pleasant, they're more nice, they're willing to accommodate. We call them more gregarious or that because they're willing to accommodate others.
Yeah.
Like that. But why they're accommodating others, they feel comfortable accommodating others. So it's still about themselves.
Yeah.
But at least it's a nice about themselves that you can relate to.
Yeah.
Like that. But when it actually is concerned about the others, that will come actually with devotional service. So it'll have the form. It'll have the form of actual concern. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't. Its actually basis is still about themselves. So devotional service means the form shows that concern, but it's actually about. So that comes as we get purified. Because the soul can be worried about another soul. Right? And in connection with their conditioning. But it's not that the conditioning is the prominent element, it's the soul. That's what Bharat Maharaj's mistake was. He originally starts on the platform of the primary, but then through dealing in the secondary, he starts, the focus totally goes to the secondary. So it's all about the deer and that, rather than all about the soul who thinks it's a deer. So in other words, the basic point that's being made here at this point is that it's about the attitude, because we've always had, it's the intent. So the intent is why he got the results, not by what he did. What he did is recommended. He's the king, a Brahmin has come to the sacrifice, he's giving in charity, that's appropriate, that's proper dharma. But it's not that that got him, so it wasn't the karma that got him the situation, because we see as he did gave his kingdom, and he got a greater kingdom. So it wasn't karma, it was that the intent to please the Lord, and he expressed that through some form. So in this case, it was through a king giving charity to a Brahmin. The Lord being pleased, he reciprocated that love by something that also is in a form that matches the position and relationship. Right? He's a king, so therefore he gets a kingdom. If he had been a Brahmin, then he would have had something else. Right? Like Sudama Brahmin, he didn't get a kingdom, but he had more opulence than Indra. So it was just his house. You know, that's all. It was his, it was still the same place, but it's just he had more opulence than Indra. But he didn't. But so he's a Brahmin. But then Bali Maharaj, he's a king, so he has a kingdom. Right? And then he'll be the next Indra. Like when this is, you know, we're on the 28th cycle, so after 71. When it's finished, the next one, then Bali Maharaj will be the end. Like that. So, you know, he has to sit there and suffer with more facility than Indra now until he becomes Indra.
Will he be disappointed then?
Well, it also throws in the prestige.
You know, right. Right.
So, it's, in other words, so it's still something simple that we can relate to.
Yes.
Otherwise, if we dissect it too much, it starts going over our head, and then it becomes scary again. Right? But it's just that our intent is the main thing. The intent is correct, then that actually makes the whole process correct. So therefore, he's following the recommended, so that's what we try to do. But most important is that you're expressing. So whatever is the best facility you have to express, that's what you use. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. Sukadeva Goswami continued, The Supreme Personality of Godhead did not award his mercy to Balimraj by giving him material happiness and opulence, for these make one forget loving service to the Lord. The result of material opulence is that one can no longer absorb his mind in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Actually, material enjoyment is an obstacle for the devotees practicing pure bhakti, not his mercy. Because he gave material enjoyment to Indra, it may be inferred that Indra was not practicing pure bhakti. The Lord did not show mercy to Indra, Amushya. Vasudeve mano yasya japa homar chanadishu tasyan tarayo maitreya devain dra vadikam phalam. O Maitreya, receiving results such as becoming a devata are an obstacle for those whose minds are absorbed in Vasudeva through japa, sacrifice, and worship. Vishnu Purana 2.6.43. Actually, the Lord was not merciful to Indra, but was merciful to Bali, a pure devotee. Right? Because the point is he gave that pure devotion. So, does that make sense? So, what are we now? Now we're looking at it in the inverse. The first ones are looking at it from the angle is that it's the intent, not what he's done. And so, now we're looking at it the other way. It's not what the Lord's given. It's not that he's given him the secondary thing, that's his mercy. It's that he gave him himself. That's the mercy. So because he gave himself, therefore if he has the opulence or not, it won't bother him. But someone like Indra, who hasn't surrendered to the Lord fully, by having that opulence, he'll forget. So if we're interested in devotional service and interested in opulence, become the pure devotee first, then get the opulence, because then it won't distract you.
You can keep both.
Yeah, but the point is you still have to work for the pure devotion first, and it can't be for the and it can't be pure devotee if you want the opulence.
Yes.
Yes, that's the whole. So in other words, it boils down to it's just the relationship between us and the Lord. That's the whole point, right? And then with devotees, based on that principle. Yes. Yes. It means if you have a kingdom bigger than Indra's, what are you going to ask for? Just want to make sure you get enough, right? Okay. You know, you've got so much stuff you can't even put it in your car and you have to leave it on the sidewalk. You feel bad, right? Yeah, so
get a bigger car.
Get a taxi. No, these points is that he'll fulfill it because we're putting it on the secondary. So he'll fulfill it in such a way that we won't put the focus on the secondary. We'll start to put it on the primary. That's the whole idea, because that's the thing. Opulence isn't the problem, since Krishna is opulence. So having opulence is not a problem for Krishna. Right? The difficulty is that if it's not about Krishna. Right? So in the beginning stages, we connect everything to Krishna, and it is Krishna, because Krishna is non-different from his creation. So he is the creation, he is the rules governing the creation, but he's the person behind the creation. So the beginning stage, that's what we're saying, the universal form, then we see Krishna in the creation. Then we start seeing him in the laws of the creation. Then we start seeing him as the person behind it. So we get to that platform. So he'll fulfill the desires on the lower two platforms in such a way that we won't keep desiring those. Right? So in other words, we're seeing Krishna in a particular way through the material energy. At some point, that will go away and come to a higher stage. Does that make sense? Yeah. We need an example? Or we got it? Okay. Yeah, okay. Srila Prabhupada adds, there are two kinds of opulence. One which results from one's karma is material, whereas the other is spiritual. A surrendered soul who fully depends upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not want material opulence for sense gratification, right? Because that's the results of one's karma.
Yes.
I've done the work to get the results so I can enjoy it. Therefore, when a pure devotee is seen to possess exalted material opulence, it is not due to his karma. Rather, it is due to his bhakti. In other words, he is in that position because the Supreme Lord wants him to execute service to him very easily and opulently. Because you see, is that those who advance, they get opulence, then they use it for Krishna. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. They'll use it in that way. Yes.
This was mentioned before, somebody passing spoken, that if they get material opulence, they feel the world is, because they're not distracted by it, it's not material.
Yes. They're not distracted. It's not material, but it's also it's come because of that. So it's not that it was they got stuff according to their karma, and then they don't get attracted to it. It's because they're not attracted to it. Therefore, Lakshmi gives so much stuff because they'll use it in Krishna's service. Because the spiritual world is there; it's the most opulent. But then they use it for Krishna. But when we use it for ourselves, then she starts to restrict. So unless you've done the work. In other words, if you have followed Krishna's laws, so at least you accept him in that way of authority, then according to exactly how much you've done, Lakshmi will reciprocate and give you that much facility. Because you've accepted the Lord, at least on that. Maybe not as a person, but as God, as the lawmaker, or at least the laws of nature. So some way you've accepted his authority, then she'll reciprocate. But for the devotee, because they don't have the mentality for sense gratification, so then they can have so much. Right. Does that make sense? So it may be across the board, because they don't have any area of sense gratification, or it'll be in areas where they don't see it as sense gratification. Right? Areas that you don't see as sense gratification, you get more there. Where you do, then there may be less. So it's just a matter of what you'll do with it, how you see it. So that's why we have to be very, very careful as devotees are advancing. The opulence they have, then we have to judge what it is. Because sometimes taking, if there's any opulence, then that's wrong. But why is it there? You know, because it'll be said, because they have disciples, or they're senior, they have a position of authority, or this. There's plenty of temple presidents that don't have, you know, a paisa. Like that. And then there's ones that have so much facility. So is it just that they're, you know, they managed it? So if they managed it and got it, well, technically, what's wrong with that? So therefore, then why don't you manage it and get it? Right? If it's so important to you. But the point is there's a good chance you can't manage it and get it. So that's why then you're actually, you know, it's not necessarily a pure perspective. Because if you could, you would. Because if someone could, but they don't want to, they're not the ones that are going to criticize. And if they do make a comment, they'll make it personally and point out how to improve the quality of devotional service. So in other words, if it's a public forum, that person wants that but doesn't have it. And if it's private, that means they could have it but don't want it. In a sense. Does that make sense? You know, in other words, what is it? The empty pot makes the most noise. Okay, so that's it. He wants him to execute service to him very easily and opulently. So in other words, he has a facility, so service goes nicely. Mm-hmm. No anxiety, because then he'll focus on the service. The special mercy of the Lord for the neophyte devotee is that he becomes materially poor. Right? So then if you're saying, how come I have nothing, he has something, then you say, the Lord's merciful to me. So the point is, he's merciful to him because he has, and he's merciful to me because I don't have. Right? So then, you know, how you say? Win-win.
Have a little bit of faith.
Yes. This is the Lord's mercy, because if a neophyte devotee becomes material opulent, he forgets the service of the Lord. However, if an advanced devotee is favored by the Lord with opulence, it is not material opulence, but a spiritual opportunity. Material opulence offered to the demigods causes forgetfulness of the Lord, but opulence was given to Balimars for continuing service to the Lord, which was free from any touch of Maya. Right? So we see is that because of his karma, he got what he got, Indra. But it's a distraction. But Balimars is getting because of how he says devotion, and it doesn't distract. One can say, well, Indra's a devotee, why should he get? Because this law is he taking away. No, but he did the karma for that, so he got according to that. But if he's actually wants to advance in devotional service, then we might see Krishna might take it away. Sukadev Goswami continued. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead could see no other means of taking everything away from Bali Maharaj, he adopted the trick of begging from him and took away all the three worlds. Right? Because he's trying to take over the three worlds and he's not actually in the position of Indra. He's just on his own prowess trying to take it. And that's not the laws of the universe. Right? You qualify yourself, then you can be in that position. So therefore, he has to take it back. So how to do it? So then he sees here, there's no other way but to trick him by begging land as a Brahmin. And then if he's a big Brahmin, you might be doubtful because he'll be big, powerful, and this, and maybe there's some mystic tricks here when he's asking for three steps of land. Why would an adult ask for three steps of land? Right? You know, and he's a mature Brahmin and all this, and is there some trick here? But if he's a little kid, and he asks for three steps of land, it's kind of like, you know, one, pretty small steps, and two, he's a kid, okay? They ask for such things.
He'll probably forget about it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, take one step and, ooh, yeah, exactly. And disappear off, and what's that?
So,
yeah, yeah, like that. Yeah, okay. Okay. He adopted the trick of begging from him and took away all the three worlds. Thus, when he could see no other means, and that means he could do it by other means, but, you know, for the pastime and the way that it's going to be attractive and that it's going to bring out the nice qualities of Bali Maharaj and make us inspired, like this. Right? So that's the point of Dimahi, is to be inspired in that. Right? So that's the meditation. Right? Thus, only his body was left, but the Lord was not satisfied because he had taken everything in two steps. Right? He arrested Bali Maharaj, bound him with the ropes of Varuna, and threw him in a cave in a mountain. Nevertheless, although all his property was taken and he was thrown into a cave, Bali Maharaj was such a great devotee that he spoke as follows. Alas, how pitiable it is for Indra, the king of heaven, that although he is very learned and powerful, and although he chose Brihaspati as his prime minister to instruct him, he is completely ignorant concerning spiritual advancement. Mm-hmm. Right? So now here he is, that he's not the king of heaven, right? He's not in that situation. He doesn't have Brihaspati. He's talking about Brihaspati. Now here's a demigod, a Brahmin, who knows something, right? He has Sukracharya, who's a great Brahmin, but he's a materialist, you know, basically from that platform. In other words, his duty is to see to the nice arrangements for everybody. It's not that he doesn't know the Supreme Absolute Truth, because we see it when we cut to the pastime. At the end, Vamanadeva will ask him if there was any fault. So he'll point out there was no fault. So we actually understand his position. Mm-hmm. Right? But it's his occupation as a Brahmin, therefore, because it's not working out what's his name? Brihaspati. Therefore, then he, you know, comes down and advises the demons, you know, just so he has a proper situation for his, you know, position. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, and he understands devotional service. Right? So he's in a situation that you wouldn't take as ideal. He's in the lower heavenly planets. He has Sukracharya as his guru. And Indra's in the heavenly planets. He has Brihaspati, but he can't understand devotional service. So how unfortunate. He's in a position to understand. He doesn't. Right? So that's more unfortunate.
And Bali Maharaj is speaking when he is like with rope.
Yeah, tied up with the ropes of Varuna. Because the ropes of Varuna are actually dangerous. You can only be tied with them for a certain length of time. If you're tied with them beyond a certain length of time, they'll actually kill you. You know, unless you're somebody very powerful. Like Hanuman, he was tied with the ropes of Varuna, and he's just sitting there, and you know, just sitting there, just acting like he's tied up just so that they'll bring him into the palace. Because he thought, who is this Ravana? I want to see him. Right. He's already he's wiped out his army. Yes. You know, he's already destroyed his garden. And now it's kind of like, okay, let's go see who is this guy that's harassing Ram. So he goes there and, you know, he says that, you know, I've come as I'm a minister, messenger for Ram, you know, like this. You know, so then, you know, we deal. So then he sees him and then, you know, they say,
okay, light his tail on fire. And he thought, great, I wondered how I was going to ruin the rest of the place. You know, like that. So then, you know, it does. You know, and Unga comes there, then, you know, he's, you know, officially a messenger. And so then, you know, he asks, you know, a messenger, where's my seat? You know, he says, you're not getting a seat. Okay, so he just extends his tail until he's sitting higher than Ravana, you know, and looks down on Ravana. Like this, so they have their fun. Right? You know?
So Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, is quite surrendered before the third step.
He's surrendered, yes. Before that's the whole point. One. So he's tied by these ropes, which are dangerous, right? Yeah. And that... And but he's not thinking badly. In other words, the situation that the Lord puts you in, the devotee is surrendered, whatever situation the Lord puts them in. Yes. He's surrendered. The Lord has a plan. There's something. In other words, if we want devotional service, then the arrangements Krishna makes is for our benefit. Yes. Right? It is for our benefit. So if we have that faith, like Bali Maharaj, then we see we get everything. Because otherwise, now, what have we talked to about before? What's been the inspiring aspect of devotional service up to this particular point?
We can engage everything.
Yes, we can engage everything, and not only that, we can get more. Right? So however much we can engage, we can. Right? So that's the point. But now, as I've been pointing out, is that it's that intent behind it that's the most important. So that we can engage that is correct. But it's the intent that's the most important. In other words, the secondary being engaged, that is correct. But the primary is the devotion to the Lord. That's the real point. Does that make sense? Yeah. Gee, I'm not so sure if you would want to use a Hari Nam chutter to cover your legs so that no one sees your legs. You know what I'm saying? You can use other chutters. Covering with chutters, that's fine. But Harinami, generally, you keep it above the waist. That's the standard. That's why in the Gurukul, we don't use... They look like Harinam chutters, but they're not. Yeah. So does that make sense? So he's bound. So like you're saying, his intent is already there before. So now we're seeing is that the devotee... The opposite, you know, the Lord gives us all facility and opulence, and you know, that's good. But now, as He takes everything away, and it's still good.
Yes.
Right? So, in other words, it's all good.
It's all.
Yeah. So, if we see from that, then it doesn't matter which we have.
Yes.
Right? Because otherwise, Krishna can only give us facility in areas that we can engage. Because if He gives beyond, then we have problems. Right? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like. Have we seen the scenario where there's a simple, humble guy and all that, and everybody, you know, feels, you know, kind of, you know, supportive and all that, and then kind of gets his facility together and all that, then he gets it all that, and gets nicely situated, and now he's too, you know, big and special, he doesn't interact with anybody. It's a pretty common scenario. So Krishna avoids that. Right? So he'll give how much you can use. Is that something?
And spiritually he can give unlimited.
He can give unlimited. So the point is that we see with Dhruva Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, with these, he gives unlimited. Mm-hmm. Right? Because there's no point in giving more than the opulence of Indra, because more than that, how you'll use it. And anyway, when it comes on the material platform, then it's not, there isn't more than that. Because if you go up to the Mahar Loka, which are higher than Indra, they live in a grass hut. Right, Jana also. Tapa, they don't even have a hut by the looks of it, right? You know? Like that. And then you get up to Brahmaloka, that's in another category altogether. Like that. You know, you just look at the architecture, and that you've looked, when you look away, when you look back, it's different. That will freak out your friends. So you don't want that kind of opulence. You know, so Brahma and the personified Vedas, they can handle that. So they sit there. Narad, Shiva. You know, it's sorry? It's that also. He does all of this. But his hall. Oh, wow. That was a regular one. Exactly. You get these, the bomras, they actually have a hard shell. They're kind of flat on the top, and you know, little curves on the top. They're different. Have you ever seen those? Mm-hmm. Kind of bumblebees?
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe. But they look kind of more like a bug that with dinky wings that fly, rather than a regular bee that's furry. They're not furry at all.
Mm-hmm. Stealth.
Huh?
Stealth.
Stealth.
Yeah, true. Stealth, yeah. Brihaspati is also unintelligent because he did not properly instruct his disciple Indra, right, in devotional service. Lord Vamanadeva was standing at Indra's door, but King Indra, instead of begging him for an opportunity to render transcendental loving service, engaged him in asking me for alms to gain the three worlds for his sense gratification. In other words, instead of asking for devotion from Vamanadeva, who's there as his brother, right, he asked him to get the three worlds back for his sense gratification. Right? Rather than just, no, this is, you know, my Lord, this is, we're supposed to do, the demons aren't supposed to manage and this and that, so, you know, what should we do? No, but he's saying is, you know, get this all back, because he likes being Indra. Right? Otherwise, why do you perform 100 Ashwamedha yagyas unless you want to be Indra? Right? You know, it's not something that, you know, you can just, on your way home, stop by the market and pick up some potatoes. We're not talking about that. We're talking... Yeah. It's just what to do. It's just out in the backyard. There was this horse and this whole yagya shala. So hey, we just yeah. Sovereignty over the three worlds is very insignificant because whatever material opulence one may possess lasts only for an age of Manu. Only for an age of Manu. But that's the point. With India, it's just and for them up there, it's only 100 years. Right. Like that. Down here, in age of Manu, at least Manu, it seems like a bit more time.
Yeah.
Right? But he doesn't have the power and prowess and all that, but the point is you know, which is but a tiny fraction of endless time. Right? So if you're talking about devotion, that's eternal, so therefore it's not very long. 23 to 24. In his purport to verse 24, Srila Prabhupada comments, Bali Maharaj was so powerful that he fought with Indra, and took possession of the three worlds. Indra was certainly very advanced in knowledge, but instead of asking Vamanadeva for engagement in his service, he used the Lord to beg for material possessions that would lie finished at the end of one age of Manu. Right, so Balamars came up and took it instead of taking the opportunity to surrender to the Lord, you know, as a Kinshana Gochara. Now, you know, he has nothing. Then he just asked him to get it all back. Right? You know, as far as a demigod and his duties, yes, okay, that's fine. But as him, as a soul, as an individual, then that's a problem. Right? Does that make sense? Means if that Indra had been Vishnu Tattva, because there was no Jiva, he would have gone and fought and taken it back.
Yes.
Because there is a natural order of the universe. But it's because it's just the way the Lord runs the universe. But for Indra, by the way Bali Maharaj is revealing, it was actually for his own sense gratification. Though, it is in line with duty, therefore, otherwise, why is Vamana taking that, right? The Manvantara avatar protects Indra and his interests, because Indra is representing the Lord in governing the universe, right? But he's not taking advantage of the primary, which is devotion, only the secondary. So he's engaging the Lord in the secondary aspect of universal management, without ignoring the primary, which he could get. The Lord is right there. He's his brother. He's hanging out with him. Right? So instead of now being with Indra, now he stays down with Bali.
Yes.
Indra will recognize that Ramanadeva was the Lord?
He knows he's Vishnu. That he knows. That, like when we see this before, is that when... Nard Muni is going for the best devotee, most fortunate devotee.
Yes.
Then they say, I forget who was before Indra.
The king.
The king. The king was saying, you know, he's there, the Lord's with him, like that. I go and worship the deity and all that, but Vamanadeva is right there personally with Indra, so he's actually more fortunate. Then he gets, he's here sometimes, but he's always off on his own missions, because being the Lord, he does his own activities.
you know. So he's only here because of the request of Aditi and that. So it's not because of me.
Right.
Yes. His point is that
yes.
He's not here because of me. He's here because my mother and father asked that I be here. And he just happens because they're brothers, so he hangs out. But it's not really about Yeah, and then they got, because then well, Brahma lives there because, you know, he lives with Brahma.
Right.
Then, you know, Brahma's saying, well, he only comes and sits in the court a little bit, and then he goes back to his place, you know, like, you know, hears a few prayers, interacts because he's supposed to, because, you know, he's God and I'm the engineer, so then, you know, but he goes back to his own place and then enjoys there. You know, so like that is, Indra's a devotee, but because of the neophyte position, he tends to forget due to the opulence. That's the whole point to be learned from here. Indra has opulence, he forgets.
Yes.
Bali Maharaj is a, he, therefore he doesn't forget.
Yes.
So whether he has facility or doesn't, he's still always Krishna conscious. An age of Manu, which is the duration of Manu's life, is calculated to last 72 yugas. Okay, here he mentions 72, because I think it's 71 and something. Yeah, so sometimes it's rounded down, sometimes it's up. So either way. Sorry?
71 plus one
sati yuga. Plus one sati yuga. Oh, okay. Well, that's big, right? Because that's 40%. Yeah. So, yeah, you could either round it down or up. So here Prabhupada's rounded up, because I think other times he says 71, like that, so. One yuga consists of 4,300,000 years, and therefore the duration of Manu's life is 309,600,000 years. The demigods possess their material opulence only until the end of the life of Manu, right? Cause so that's the whole point, is we can say Indra is the head, but it's all actually based around Manu, because the whole point of the universe is to go back to Godhead. In what position do you go back to Godhead? From the human form. So the time, so, and who's in charge of humans? Manu. So actually, in one sense, Manu is the most important of individuals when it comes actually to time, because time is then is effort. So then activities according to Manu, that's the most important. You know, and demigods and, you know, Swarga and Antariksha in between, these are just the results of your previous actions, so you get some good, nice facility. Like that. The time is insurmountable. The time one is allotted, even if it be millions of years, is quickly gone. Because if you have more time, then, you know, it still goes more. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you go, let's say, on a two-day vacation, you get the same out of it as you do if you go for a five-day. You know? Because you pay more attention. That's it. You know? If you go for 3 months, you get bored. The demigods own their material possessions only within the limits of time. Therefore, Bali Maharaj lamented that although Indra was very learned, he did not know how to use his intelligence properly, right? So he's learned in how to manage the universe. Nobody's saying he's not a good manager of the universe. Like that. When it comes to managers, you would have to admit he's going to be one of the best. Like that. For instead of asking Vamanadeva to allow him to engage in a service, Indra used him to beg Bali Maharaj for material wealth. Although Indra, because that's all he's going to get from him. He's not going to get more. Right? Although Indra was learned, and his prime minister, Brihaspati, was also learned, neither of them begged to be able to render loving service to Lord Vamanadeva. Therefore, Bali Maharaj lamented from Indra. Right? So this is also another symptom, is that he has all of the wealth, you know, the kingdom of Indra, and he's losing it to Indra, but he's lamenting for Indra's position because of lack of devotion. And he's not lamenting for his own position, that he just lost it all, and now he's tied up and in a cave. Right, it's not like he's tied up and in one of his guest rooms or something, you know. Right, like that. Sukadeva Goswami continued, Bali Maharaj said, my grandfather, Pallad Maharaj, is the only person who understood his own self-interest. Upon the death of Pallad's father, Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrisingadeva wanted to offer Pallad his father's kingdom, and even wanted to grant him liberation from material bondage.
But Prahlad accepted neither. Liberation and material opulence, he thought, are obstacles to devotional service, and therefore such gifts from the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not his actual mercy, right? Because that's not the mercy. That you get that, that may be, that's just a supportive of the actual mercy, which is devotional service, right? Because that's what it said before. You wanted the devotee to, what is it? In other words, he is in that position because the Supreme Lord means, you know, having facility in bhakti to execute service to him very easily and opulently.
Yeah.
So therefore, what does that mean? He's already gotten the primary mercy of the devotional service. And then secondary, then the opulence supports that. But if we have the opulence without the devotion, then what's the opulence supporting? Because if we don't have the devotion, it'll just support our material desires. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So now opulence are meant to support the
intention. Yes, that's what opulence is for, because opulence is Lakshmi. Lakshmi serves the Lord.
Yes.
But that's the point. We want Lakshmi for ourselves.
Yes.
Leave out Krishna, just Lakshmi for ourselves. You know, so we're in the, what do you call it? The Shankachuda Sampradaya. Leave Krishna, walk off, or in this case, Balaram, walk off with the gopis. Yes. Right, you know. So that's the thing, or Ravana. He wants Sita, not Ram.
Yes.
You know, if he had made friendship with Ram, he would have had the blessings of Sita, and then why Lanka? He would have had so much opulence. Yes. But because he wanted Sita for himself, therefore then without Ram, then you get nothing, because Sita means opulence connected to Krishna. Right? And Maya, then she'll give just a little bit according to what you've done.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, the gift was really good, you know, smiles for 3 days. Gift was okay, then, you know, a few minutes, right, you know.
Yes.
You know, like that, you know, so that's the... Is that okay?
Yes.
Yes.
So, we know that some people come to the Lord for the opulence.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see that some get the opulence and then they stay.
Right.
And some get the opulence and then they go.
Yes.
So what is...
It just depends on what they want. So, in other words, the one who stayed then came to the position of the jnani. While the one who went, yes, never left Artarti. Like that. So that's the thing. The Arta, Artarti, and Jigyasu, when they get what they want, if they go away, that means they never actually advance forward to jnani. Because they don't want to know the Lord, the relationship with the Lord, this and that. So then they'll go away. You know, just like some come and they study and this and that.
Yeah.
And then they go away. You know, they've learned something and all that, and, you know, they're happy. Now they can go on with the speculation in a more developed way. Yeah. You know, they've added some Eastern philosophy to their speculative methodology. And so, you know, they feel benefited. So, you know, it's just a benefit. It's not the benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they never get to the primary, actually.
No, they don't get to the primary. They don't see. So the jnani is aware of the primary, but they're basically aware of the secondary aspects of the primary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the activities of the devotees of Vrindavan and this and that. Because when we think of, oh yes, you know, advanced devotionals, like what we're saying before, the Gopi Bhava Club, what are they talking about? They're talking about the secondary aspects of the gopis, not the surrender. They're not talking actually about the rasa they have with Krishna, they're talking about the secondary activity. That's why it's a problem. Okay, they've shifted from secondary to secondary of primary. But it's still not that good, because they'll still make a mistake.
You never really get to the primary.
Yeah, so then they think, now I'm in there, but it's not. You've just shifted where it is. So yes, it's better, it's connected to Krishna. But then better you're connecting that secondary that you have to Krishna, rather than taking Krishna's, what he has, and make it secondary.
Yeah.
You know, yes.
Is that a distinction between the Prakriti Bhakta and the Madhyama Bhakta?
Basically, yes. Because Madhyama doesn't talk about this stuff. Right? In other words, that you know about it, there's something wrong. Right? Like I remember Sahotra Maharaj when all these things were coming up in the 90s.
then he was inspired that, you know, devotees are looking at the more mature and developed and advanced stages of devotional service and able to analyze and discuss it and all that. And he thought, and this is a good symptom. But then, after, you know, some time developing, when he went back to the West and he goes to one of the little out-of-the-way temples and there's a new bhaktin that's talking all this stuff, and he says, no, something's wrong. Because this is not discussions for the common devotee. This is those who had some maturity in devotional service. They discuss this amongst themselves, but they've allowed it to go out to the general public where it's not there. You know what I'm saying? Married women sit around and talk amongst themselves. That's fine. You don't talk in front of the little girls. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, if the teenage, you know, the more mature teenagers who are not married talk amongst themselves, fine. But the problem is they don't. They think because they're doing it, it's the best thing, and so they'll talk amongst younger teenagers or amongst little girls. That's where it's a problem. That's where it has to be stopped. Right? So the problem's not the discussions. The problem is what's the level of it? Who's discussing it? What's the level? So in other words, if one's appreciating the primary, then the secondary is supportive of that. Does that make sense? You know, and someone who can appreciate, then on the material platform, they can see, or the external platform, the secondary platform, they can see what's the primary, the secondary, and actually be successful. So they'll be spiritually and materially successful. You know, if they want. Does that make sense? So Prakriti, their whole point is technically Prakriti is the Prakriti just sees it on their own platform. It means that their conditioning is what they want from it. So they see is the secondary aspect. Like the Sahajiyas, they have this idea is that you're dealing in conjugal rasa, therefore unless you're engaged in conjugal rasa here, you can't understand there. But the Acharyas point out, no, it's the opposite. It's generally, it's the celibates here can understand the conjugal rasa there. The grihasthas may or may not.
Yes.
They may not understand it here. That's another thing. That's what it says. Exactly. Who understands it here?
Celibates.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing is that it's on a different platform. It's not on the material. Here is just the external form, and then there's principles why it works. Right?
Does that
make sense? Yeah. Okay. Consequently, instead of accepting the results of karma and jnana, Prahlad Maharaj simply begged the Lord for engagement in the service of his servant. Right? So that's the primary. To be engaged in the Lord's service as the servant of his servant. Right? That's what we want. That's actually the primary point. Because even we say the relationship with Krishna, but the point is our relationship with Krishna is through his servants. So that's actually, even at the primary, that's the primary, the primary. Right? Is that our connection to the servants of the servants. Okay. So then we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema ki.